Isaiah 46, verse 8. Tell them like you mean it. You bet not forget. Some of y'all are trying to forget. You better not. Because if you forget, you actually deny part of yourself. Remember when? There's a phrase there. Remember when we say that. There's a lot that goes into that phrase. Can we say amen to that? I want you, if you will, with me, remember the life you led before God got to you. Remember how you took people for granted. And things for granted. Remember how somebody else's feelings didn't even make a difference to you. Some of y'all don't want to say, it's okay to say amen. Some of y'all was toe up. I know because I was one of them. Didn't care about nothing and nobody. You didn't mind hurting somebody else's feelings. You didn't mind breaking them down. Somebody said, break them down like a fraction.
Right.
You didn't mind just taking care of yourself and not being the least concerned about someone else. You couldn't keep no promises. Your word wasn't good for nothing. You would take money, had no intention of paying it back. Somebody say amen. I know I wasn't the only one. In essence, you were not even thinking about God. You weren't even considering God. Sunday was just another day off. And you did with it what you wanted to do. For some of us, Sunday was another party day. For some of us, Sunday was a go-to-the-park day. For some of us, Sunday was a go-to-the-movies day. For some of us, Sunday was everything but a church day. Sunday was football day. Sunday was come on, baseball day. Sunday was basketball day. And I'm not talking about watching it. You used to go out and play it. You used to go out and watch other people do it. You weren't thinking about God. Even on Sunday. You did it? Look at your name and say, yeah, you did it. We hung out. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Drank, we smoked.
Amen.
We talk about God like he was on another planet. And even if you went to church and knew all of the church mannerisms, you knew how to shout. You know, you knew church etiquette. You went to church, but your mind went near church. You went to church, but you was really down the street with little Bobby Jimmy. With little Sarah Sue, you was really somewhere else. It was almost like having an out-of-body experience. You was in church and you was asleep, even though your eyes was open. You wasn't paying attention to the word of God. It was just church. Y'all talk back to me. I know I'm not talking to anybody by myself. Some of y'all was raised in church. You used to go to sleep and put your head back and your grandparents would nudge you. Wake up. You would wake up only to fall back asleep. Y'all talk back to me. Knew all the church mannerisms. Knew the etiquette, knew the protocol. Knew what time you should get there because they're gonna be doing that by that specific time. And within all that, you still lack a relationship with God. You came to church to look good, to get the good girl, or to get with the church boy. Some of us used to go to church to try to corrupt other folk.
Come on now.
Church was just another social place to gather. We didn't treat church right. You were a good person, someone whom people wanted to hang out with, but you still had no relationship with God. We acted and we talked as if we would stay young forever. In other words, our poor choices would never catch up with us. We just did whatever.
That's right.
Our decisions absolutely had no bearing on our future.
All right.
I know I'm not by myself. Y'all need to talk back to me because I'm reaching into some of y'all history. As far back as yesterday. We justified our lifestyle against the hypocrisy of the church or our parents. In other words, we said, how can you say you love God and you act like that, but I can't act like this? Isaiah 44:19 says, and no one considers in his heart. You didn't consider your own actions. Nor is there knowledge nor understanding to say you didn't know what you was doing. I have burned half of it in the fire. You wasted what God had for you. Yes, I have also baked bread on its coals. In other words, you did things according to what we thought was right.
All right.
I have roasted meat and eaten it. You consumed some things and didn't even think about it. And I shall make the rest of it an abomination. You never gave God. We never gave God anything back.
All right.
Can you remember when? We were a hot mess. And we should have been burnt to a crisp. God here in the text in 46 is really instructing his people as they work on coming out of idolatrous situations and worshiping idol gods. He's telling his people the first thing is to take courage and admit what you've done. Look at somebody and say, yeah, I did it. I was tore up from the floor. Go ahead. Tell somebody and say, yeah, that was me. I was a sanctified mess. I wasn't even sanctified. I was just a mess. You know, tell somebody. He was reprimanding them because of their relationship with idolatrous gods. And he had to remind them of who he was. And the first thing he does in verse 8 is he tells them to stand up. And you was bold enough to do it. Don't come in church and act like you're holier than thou. If you was bold enough to do it, I need for you to shut your mouth and listen to what I'm telling you and admit to what you have done in the past. You wasn't that saved a little while ago. And if I hadn't watched over you, you should have lost your mind in the midst of your sin. And since you got the audacity to walk up in church and act like nothing is wrong and you don't have no reason to praise God, I need you to lift your head up and recognize the mess that you've been in. Says, old transgressors. He wanted to point out some people. Folks that was doing some sinful stuff. If you thought about it, it was wrong. It was sin. Bible got a word for it. I read you plug out your eye. Y'all ain't talking back to me. He wanted them to listen because he was telling them something. Have you ever tried to tell someone something and it fell on deaf ears?
Yep.
They hear you, but they don't listen to you. They look at you like you from somewhere else. You trying to communicate what they should not do, but they looking right through you. They hear you, but they don't listen to you. Sometimes we got a habit of assigning that behavior to children. I know some adults today that when you try to give them good advice, they look at you like you from somewhere else. Somebody should have knocked the you-know-what out of you when you was a child. But it was allowed to go forth and some things have taken place and you still looking at folk crazy that's trying to import something into your life. Evil cracked me up. They hear you, but they're not really listening to you. Really what you're talking about is your history. Your personal history. You are recapping what has made you, you. Think about all the stuff you've been through. It's actually quite funny when you think about it. In that history, there are some instances where and some moments where you could not explain what happened.
Amen.
But it worked out for your good. All you know is that it didn't turn out like you thought it should have. And it wasn't until you got saved that you looked back over your life and you realized that it was God that got you through. That's how they came up with the song, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. What they were really saying was, I remember when I was bound. I remember when I was going through some stuff. I remember when I didn't even know who you were, but God, you came in and freed me from certain doom. Look at somebody and say, Jesus, I'll never forget. I. And then talk back to him, you bet not forget, you bet not forget, you bet not forget. Then he follows up. He says, for I am God. And there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. It looks like, it sounds like the same thing, but really it's not. One, he's saying, there's nobody else but me. Then he's saying, when you look among yourself, there's nobody like me. Nobody can do what I do. Nobody can say what I say. Nobody can act how I act. I'm God and I'm God all by myself. And when you think about it like that, that there's nobody else but God, you can't help but praise and magnify his name. That's why it confuses me sometimes when the word goes forth and you hear something that pricks your spirit and you have the audacity and you can't even wave your hand in the sanctuary. The fact that God was God before you was you ought to qualify you to give God some praise. You, nobody can do. Some of us don't even know him like that, and he still covers us.
Come on now. Come on. That's right.
You act like you say, but you ain't say, but he ain't let you die yet. No, boy, you tripping.
Yeah. Yeah.
God is still awesome. He's still awesome. He still provides. Can somebody say amen? He still raises us up. He still heals us. He still keeps us. Why? Why, God, do you persist? Why do you continue to do these things? Well, in verse 10, he says, declaring the beginning from the ending. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. Wait a minute. What are you saying here? Let's go back to the word. And declaring the end. Y'all better get with me now. I'm feeling pretty good in here now. Wait a minute. I'm confused. I'm perplexed. I'm scratching my head now because he's saying some things here that actually twist up what you're going through. Now, look at this. He says, declaring the end. Declaring the end from the beginning. Wait. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done. From way back in biblical times to today. He said, I'm working differently than what you're doing. He's saying, I'm declaring the end from the beginning. Wait a minute. Somebody just say it back to me. That's backwards. Somebody say it back. That's backwards. That's out of sequence. That's out of order. You never declare, you never announce, you never proclaim the end from its beginning.
Amen.
But God. He said in your life, I'll do it backwards for you. I'll declare the end from the beginning. I don't start with the foundation. I reverse that order. I start with the end of it. Then I go back and start working on the beginning and make the beginning work into your end. God says, I establish purpose. Then I proceed with the procedure. In other words, he established your purpose. Now he's working on pushing you into your destiny. Woo, that's why I can praise him. That's why I can praise him. There is a reason that the things that you're going through, for a certain reason, is because he's working from your end toward you while you work towards from your beginning towards your end. He says, oh my God. He's doing some stuff here.